You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome to The Encouragers with Minister Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, bringing words of encouragement for everyday life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, maker and creator of this entire universe, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is the business of serving the Lord. My scripture comes from Romans 12, chapter 11, 12, 16th, and 17th verses, which reads, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." My text is Romans 12:11, which states, "Not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." A good mind can dispute and distinguish about the will of God, while an honest, humble heart that has spiritual senses exercised and is delivered into the mold of the word, loves it and practices it and has the relish and savor of it. Thus, to be godly is to surrender ourselves to God. When this is done, to serve him in all manner of gospel obedience. Wherefore do we present ourselves to him, but that we may serve him? Whose I am, and then it follows, whom I serve. To be religious is to serve God. We must make a business of it and not be slothful in that business. There is a business of the world, that of our particular calling. In which we must not be slothful. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 states, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you." But this seems to be meant of the business of serving the Lord, our Father's business. Luke 2:49 states, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Those that will approve themselves Christians indeed must make religion their business, must choose it and learn it and give themselves to it. They must love it and employ themselves in it and abide by it as their great and main business. And having made it our business, we must not be slothful in it, not desire our own ease. We must not drive on slowly in religion. We must be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God must be served with the Spirit, under the influences of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do in religion, it is pleasing to God, no further than it is done with our spirits, worked upon by the Spirit of God. In Chicago, the mother of a 23-year-old son got to meet and thank the man who helped save her son's life after he was attacked and shot 3 times during an armed robbery earlier this month. The Holy Spirit still works on the hearts of men. And there must be fervency in the Spirit, a holy zeal and warmth of affection in all we do, as those that love God, not only with the heart and soul, but with all our hearts and all of our souls. This is the holy fire that kindles the sacrifice and carries it up to heaven, an offering of a sweet-smelling savor, serving the Lord. That is, improving your opportunities and making the best of them, complying with the present seasons of grace, rejoicing in hope. God is worshipped and honored by our hope and trust in Him, especially when we rejoice in that hope. Take a self-satisfaction in that confidence, which augurs a great assurance of the reality and a great value of the excellency of the good hope for. Patient in tribulation. Thus also God is served, not only by working for Him when He calls us to work, but by sitting still, quietly, when He calls us to suffer. Patient for God's sake, and with an eye to His will and glory, is true dutifulness. Those that rejoice in hope are likely to be patient in tribulation. It is a believing prospect of the joy set before us that bears up the spirit under all outward pressure, continuing instant in prayer. Prayer is a friend to hope and patience, and we do it to serve the Lord. It signifies both fervency and perseverance in prayer. We should not be cold in the duty, not soon weary of it. This is our duty, which immediately respects God. Each member has its place and office for the good and benefit of the whole and of every other member. We are not only members of Christ, but we are members one of another. We stand in relation one to another. We are engaged to do all the good we can one to another and to act in conjunction for the common benefit. Therefore, we must not be puffed up with the conceit of our own attainments, because whatever we have, as we received it, so we received it not for ourselves, but for the good of others. A united love. Be of the same mind one towards another. That is, labor as much as you can to agree in comprehending, and wherein you come short of this, yet agree in affection. Endeavor to be all one, not affecting to clash and contradict and oppose one another, but keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, wishing the same good to others that you do to yourselves. This is to love our brethren as ourselves, desiring their welfare as our own. A condescending love. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. True love cannot be without lowliness. When our Lord Jesus washed His disciples' feet to teach us brotherly love, it was designed especially to make known to us that to love one another aright is to be willing to stoop to the meanest offices of kindness for the good of one another. Love is a condescending grace. Majesty and love do but ill association with each other. Condescend, that is, suit yourselves to them. Stoop to them for their good. As Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:19 states, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Christians must be tender towards their fellow travelers. As a means to promote this, he adds, "Be not wise in your own conceits. We shall never find in our hearts to condescend to others while we find there so great a favorable opinion of ourselves. And therefore, this must needs be deadened. Be not wise by yourselves. Be not confident of the sufficiency of your own wisdom, so as to look down with disrespect on others, or think you have no need of them." Proverbs 3:7 states, "Be not wise in thine own eye. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Nor be shy of communicating what you have to others." We are members one of another, depend upon one another, are obliged to one another, and therefore be not wise by yourselves. To do them no hurt, recompense or return to no man evil for evil. For this is a brutish, befitting beast recompense, and befitting only those animals which are not conscious either of any being above them of any state before them. We have not so learned of God, who does so much for his enemies. Matthew 5:45 states, that ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Much less have we so learned from Christ, who died for us when we were enemies, and so loved the world, which hated him without a cause. To no man, neither to Jew nor Greek, not to one that has been thy friend, for by recompensing evil for evil, thou wilt surely lose him. Not to one that has been thine enemy, for by not recompensing evil for evil, thou mayest perhaps gain him. Jesus came to this earth. He was nailed to an old rugged cross, where he bled and died to purchase our redemption from our sins. Therefore, let us serve him fervently and live righteously for him. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. There is the saving power of the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of a living God, and are willing to confess your sins to God and ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is material gods. Money and possessions can do great good when they are used wisely and kept in proper perspective. Some of the great people of the Bible were very rich. Abraham, Isaac, and Solomon were perhaps the richest men in their day. God's quarrel is not with material goods, but with material gods. Materialism has become the god of too many of us. Our material possessions are elevated to the central place in our lives, and we give them the attention only God deserves. The Bible teaches that the preoccupation with material possessions is a form of idolatry, and God hates idolatry. It poisons every other phase of our lives, including our family life. The problem, the Bible says, is not with money itself, but with our love of money. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. No one can serve two masters, according to Matthew 6:24. And here is a question for your consideration. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Don't allow money or anything to take God's rightful place in your life. Realize that all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loves you and gives you the opportunity to come to him, acknowledge your sin, and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Will you respond to his call? Will you believe and receive? Believe Christ died for you and by faith receive him into your life. Remember, God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands, so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and use your resources to honor God and help people. Until next time, my beloved, stay encouraged by knowing that God loves you. And when God is in it, there is no limit. Shalom.
You have been listening to Ministers Barbara Coleman and David Michael, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope we said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.